Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the Coaching Coordinator Podcast. We continue with our in-season series, and on Tuesdays, we have a series throughout the season called The Edge. And our guest host on this series is Rob Everett. Rob's been on our podcast before. He's been a college coach, a high school coach. He coached in the AAF, and when they disbanded, he decided to sit out the 2019 season, and we decided to put him to work here on the podcast because he does some excellent work with the technology, with learning strategies, teaching strategies, just a great football and coaching mind. So, Rob, it is great to have you here for the 2019 season and our debut of the Edge series.
No, Coach, I'm glad to be on with you. I'm excited. We got to remember, we got to hold each other to the time limit we'd agreed on. But I think this is going to be fun, and hopefully coaches get something out of it they can apply in season.
And that's kind of what we're going to track on. We're going to take coaches through the course of the season and try to give you topics that are relevant to exactly what's happening for you or maybe are quickly down the line for you. So what we're looking at today is the idea of scouting and preparing for an opponent that you don't have a ton of film on. And Rob, I'm sure you can relate. I can think to always week one. It's really been at every level of just feeling like I don't quite know this team we're going to face. I don't have enough data from the video that we have. I haven't seen them maybe in a live game situation. I've only seen maybe a 10-10 scrimmage where both teams are running plays and not in situations. And who is the personnel? And are they hiding anything from me? You know, then all the paranoia creeps in as well. So, Coach, how's that been for you over the course of your career as you look back on some of the week ones in preparation for it?
Yeah, it's been interesting because, Keith, you know me, but, you know, numbers are everything for me defensively. And so that week one always brings just so much anxiety of, well, we don't have any numbers, you know, even if you're trying to break down a scrimmage or something like that. So I always looked at this, and as I matured over my coaching career, I always look at week one prep as more psychological study rather than a numerical study. You know, you're trying to find out who you're playing rather than looking at, you know, what the numbers are, who they are on film. You really have to see, you know, who is the guy calling plays and what are they showing me and what can they build off of that?
Well, I think what comes into play and some things, again, thinking back on it's kind of funny, but I would call it creative recognizance, that you find some creative ways to learn more about that opponent. So, and, you know, thinking to before the days of social media and Twitter where everybody's posting everything, but remember like watching the local news when they were doing the preseason highlights and interviewing a coach or a player and trying to catch what's going on in the background there. What formation are they in? What front was that I saw? What coverage was that? Hey, what route did they run? And trying to piece together some of the things maybe about who they are, what changes they might have, and especially if it's a new team on your schedule.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And local news, and in some ways, the local news still exists online. But that's exactly right. You got to be creative with the things that are there. You know, and looking at, you know, what was the coaching tree? If it's a new coaching staff or something, where did they come from? You know, who do these guys look up to? You know, who are their mentors? And I'm certainly speaking defensively. You know, you have more experience on it, you know, calling those things offensively. But, you know, being creative with how you're putting your game plan together. And I still laugh because I still remember there was an opponent, this is probably 7 years ago now, that we pulled an entire game plan off of the back of the local news. And, you know, you could still see the look on the other team's face when they come out in a formation that they were anticipating that we weren't going to be ready for. And we know exactly what to do. And the news people want that is good background stuff, but a good learning experience for everybody. Be careful about what's in the back of some interviews, you know, both for an opponent study and a self-scout study.
Yeah, for sure. And I think social media has made it a little bit easier and everybody's got their cameras on all the time. So I'm sure it's easier to pick up, again, some of that creative reconnaissance as you're looking at an opponent. But getting back to that idea, you know, week one, you have to make it in a lot of ways about you and making sure that your team understands your game plan and really having that plan for how it might adjust. I can think of my first year as the head coach at Amherst Steel High School here in Ohio, and we prepared and watched this team. We watched this team. I think we saw them in two scrimmages. We got some film, of course, on what this coach had done before and kind of figured out, okay, he is an even front coach, and so we're going to see even front. That's all we've seen. There's no way they'll deviate from that. That's where we're going to work, and they come out in an odd front. I mean, the good thing is we had prepared for an odd front during camp. We ran against it knowing that we would see it during the season. So while we did not spend our reps that week on the odd front, our guys knew what to do. And so it was that first quarter, right? Feeling things out, making those adjustments so we could get in that groove with our offense.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, the offensive equivalent right there is the even front to odd front. And I think we'd be really shocked to learn how many coaches, you know, don't prepare for what if. And I look at week one as that opportunity to really talk about your own team and not chase ghosts down the season, as my friend John Shields like to say, but, you know, really think about those things that you may see throughout the season, and whether it's week one or not, and use that opportunity of the unknown of week one to give your players a toolbox of things that can come out. You know, defensively, just right off the top, what are your empty checks? You know, what are your FSL rules? What are your tackle over rules? What are your, you know, those little tweaks that happen? And they could happen anywhere in the season, whether it's part of a game plan week by week or not. And if you approach training camp like that, where, hey, these are these things, these unique things that could happen, thinking defensively, these are what our rules are going to be, and expose the players to those rules when they show up in week one, you know, it won't be part of the game plan, but your players will already be thinking that way, that, yeah, we're confident with this. You know, we know what our empty check is if they come out in this. You know, so I think week one, the most important thing is, you know, keep an open mind and keep soft eyes when you're looking at your opponent, and not be so narrow with your focus that whatever you see in those scrimmages or whatever you saw previous season, that this is all it's going to be.
It's part of that week one, giving your players a game plan too, that they can go into it with confidence, and that because they have some confidence in it, you can easily adjust. And, you know, I think back to some of the first ideas I learned about really looking at all things that can happen and having some contingency plans was reading Bill Walsh's book. And then after that, remember being in a clinic listening to Rich Rod when he was at West Virginia and what he called the answer sheet. The answer sheet was essentially, here is our plan if these things come up. And so from a coaching standpoint, there's that preparation as well. That burden falls on you as the coach, but know what you're going to go to when you get those kinds of things. And I mean, that kind of emphasizes the importance of a system and making sure that it's not just a grab bag of plays, but it's something that has all the answers you need to continue to be successful against whatever the opponent might throw at you.
Yeah. And the players don't need to know all those things either. You know, I kind of organize my call sheets as flow charts almost, or at least part of the call sheet is like that. And, you know, the players have a big influence on the call sheet, obviously, but, you know, those things that may happen that we're anticipating down the line, they may not know those, what the answer is, but the coaching staff knows that when those things happen, we're going to follow this path down, and then this is going to be the call. And we put our players in the position to understand change as much as we can in training camp and throughout the season, that if something does get changed, which I think is an important piece here, making your players comfortable in throwing out the game plan. It's like, yep, it doesn't matter. This isn't what we're working off of today. Start over and deal with it. Because I'm sure, Keith, you remember those teams that would show something in the scrimmage, just sit in eye pro for, you know, two scrimmages and all that, and then all of a sudden they come out 10 personnel spread, you know, week one, you know, that they use those things to their advantage, saying we're not going to show anything. Philosophy is certainly out there. So the ability to throw everything out and still have a system to go back on is an important piece.
Well, and from that side, Rob, I really liked being able to mess with a defensive coordinator in that way. And part of my thought process. I mean, you have those games on your schedule where you know if your guys go out and do the things right, you're going to be playing with a significant lead and you can do some things. And, you know, I always kind of planned a package. It would fit within what we were doing, but would certainly present a different dynamic to a defense who was trying to chart that and considering how to defend it. And a lot of times for me, it was putting those things on film just so I could take up a little bit of your time and your team's brain power to have some plans to defend it. So it's like you said, you don't want to chase ghosts always too. And hey, I know I'm not the person who invented that strategy. So there's other guys out there doing it probably on both sides of the ball.
No, there's no question. And Keith, I'll kind of give you this might be a little bit too much exposure into my mind, which might not be good for the listeners here. But I remember when I was coaching at Westfield High School, you know, we would play our crosstown rival, and they did exactly that. Now, granted, this wasn't week one. This was, you know, week six. But they would literally run the same formation about 85% of the time through these first five games, which they were the heavy favorite in those first five games. And so, you know, as a mathematician, I kind of looked at this and said, all right, there's no way this is what it's going to be. So thinking about it from a defensive standpoint, you offensive guys out there, be careful that you don't skew yourself so far the other way and trying to make it seem, you know, that this is who you're going to be. Because people will say that there's no way that can be it. They're going to look at the schedule and say, you're doing this on purpose. But I also really investigate defensively, really investigating those outliers that are there. You know, those times that you ran just one formation, you kind of snuck that into the game. My staff and I would always look at those and really kind of study, was that an anomaly or is that what you're going to go to? You know, because offensive guys, they can't help themselves. They got to see it on film, right, Keith? Yeah. And so, you know, you sneak that play in there when you're up by, you know, four touchdowns. And, like, that's the way that I kind of look at it to try to get the guy to, you know, who are you trying to be? I think you can do that in scrimmage settings, in week one settings as well. You know, take those base plays. You know, all right, you're running inside zone. Okay, what is the play action that's going to come off of inside zone? You know, or what's the misdirection that's going to come off of inside zone? Or analyzing what do you think they're best at? We've talked about before, you know, if this is their best running play, you've said this a number of times, the gadget play is going to come off the running play. You don't need to see these things on film, but, you know, really being a good preparer and then a good communicator and teacher to the players, you know, will really put yourself in a good position for week one, I think.
Yeah, and that part I don't think is, you know, that idea of chasing a ghost, that there's some things that you can deduce that are just logical, that if they run this particular play, we know that teams like to run this play action off of. We've seen it before. So to rep your team on that, to have them ready for that is pretty sound, because a lot does get held back in scrimmages. I know I always tried to be very vanilla. We were going to be a team that would shift in motion a lot, and a lot of it was based on our game plan and what we were trying to do to outflank or outnumber or, you know, give some extra gaps and cause some problems for a defense. But I certainly wasn't going to do that in scrimmages. So, you know, it's that balance of the what ifs with what you know.
Yeah, and I think that's the key word here is balance. What you know for sure and what you're anticipating, but also, you know, making those early games, traditionally they're non-conference games. You know, they're usually not a lot of playoff significance or conference significance in those early games. So make that about your team. You know, and obviously everybody's trying to win. That's not, you know, we're not throwing the game here. But, you know, make it about you, that you can be stronger at the end of the season than you are at the beginning. I mean, I've always encouraged people to use a three-week plan, you know, at the beginning, you know, of those week one, two, and three. All right, going into week four, who do we want to be? You know, so what do we have to do over these 3 weeks, week one being the tone setter, that what do we have to do in practice and in the game? What is our call sheet going to look like? What is our rotation going to look like so that we can be the team that we want to be in week four? You know, and then you create your next three-week plan that takes you from there. But, you know, it's real dangerous to fall into the trap of let's make this all about our opponent, let's win this game, and forgetting that, you know, your team is the most important piece of that equation.
Well, it's always about execution, and your team needs to be sound in the fundamentals that go behind it. You need to execute well, and you have to make week one about execution, because if you're not sound there and you haven't worked that, then, I mean, you're going to be playing from a little bit behind all season long. I like that idea of like a three-week plan and thinking out, here's how we want to build this. Not necessarily game planning for the other opponents, but just have an idea, where do we go next? And then I think a lot of that, you know, you have those intentions, but it comes to the self-scout. And we're not going to talk about the self-scout today. That is a topic we're going to cover a couple weeks down the road here. But let's get into, I guess, the practical side of this. So we know that we got to put something together. We know that there's some things that are the unknown for us. We don't know all the things they're going to do. We don't necessarily know all their personnel. But I think you and I have some ideas on how we prepare our team to have that mindset of adjust and adapt over the course of a game, over the course of a season, that there's ways to build that mentality as well as just kind of the cognitive side of this into what you do.
Yeah, I look at it as efficiently training a player or units or a team's football IQ. I mean, it's no secret, Keith, that, you know, I'm partial to virtual reality training and the use of the GoArmy Edge app, which is the, you know, the free simulation app made by the U.S. Army using its technology, is invaluable in this setting. You know, I talked to a college coach from where I came from, Bridgewater College, Mike Giancola, and he said that they've been doing 20-minute football IQ conversations using the GoArmy Edge app, where they'll make up funky formations or motions or shifts. And, you know, it's things that you would never have film on, or if you even did have film on, it would be a pain to compile and things like that. But using virtual reality, you can create whatever you want. And it's not about the realism. It's about the, you know, the stimulus of, hey, this is in front of us. And it's, you know, it's tackle over and the number one receiver is off the ball. Freeze it from your field level. What does that look like? And we use those things. And Coach G was telling me this, that the way that they've been doing it is, the coaches just sit back and they don't even facilitate the conversation. They just lay out a scenario and just go, what do you do? Because ultimately, I believe that as long as the players are doing something together, it doesn't really matter. It can't be that wrong if everyone's doing the same thing. And it's also, you get those guys thinking, and they're not looking for the answer that you want. They're looking for the answer that makes sense to them. And ultimately, this is true week one to week 15 or 16, however many it might be, you know, it's the players that have to be out there making those decisions. So I think using that virtual reality and being able to say, all right, let's make a 4x1 bunch, you know, with FSL, you know, under center. Are you going to be able to find that clip? I don't know, but I know that I could make that clip in about 3 seconds on the GoArmy Edge app. And then the players could get something out of that conversation.
And that's the power of, you know, the virtual reality or the 3D simulations. And we could talk a little bit about that, practically how we get into that here in a second. But what was interesting there, something you said, was the exact same experience I had. And, you know, I met you years ago at AFCA and was walking by. I'm like, what's this? And, you know, you showed it to me. I'm like, well, geez, I don't know if we have the budget. What's it cost? And again, you said it before, it's free. And just so our listeners out there who are more quantitative and numbers focused, how much does that cost, Rob? How many dollars?
Yeah, that is zero.
Zero.
That is $0.
$0. And there's no wait time, delivery, anything like that. Go sign up, get it. But you introduced me to it, and it really kind of started me thinking about ways I could use it. And at that time, most of the focus around virtual reality, I still think a lot of it is the idea of it's for the quarterbacks. I mean, no, it's not. I actually, my first use of it was with our offensive line. And it was one of those situations, I've shared this on here before, I set up what I called our simulation room. And it was an old racquetball court. We went up on top with a projector. I projected that down onto the wall. And initially, I went down there with those guys and thought, all right, I'm probably going to have to interact and walk them through this. And immediately, it turned into that situation where I just went back upstairs and watched it unfold and heard these guys communicate and let them problem solve. And there was a lot of magic to that. Now, you know, we had some issues physically, a lot of freshmen and sophomores, you know, just not necessarily physically ready to play, and certainly it doesn't replace any of the technique work. But from a cognitive standpoint, we weren't going to get beat on blitzes because we would throw all kinds of things at them. Initially, no, we were giving them the basics. But as we went through it, you know, we were sure every week there's going to be some things that maybe gave us some troubles in the pass game, some things that we don't think they're going to use a lot, some things maybe they don't even use. Just so we're sure we have an answer for that and we've worked through it, especially on the mental side.
Yeah, and Keith, I just love the phrase problem solving. I still remember that video that you sent me of the racquetball court and getting those guys communicating, because the fact of being in a racquetball court makes the communication that much more important because of the echo. But it's exactly right. You're able to expose your players, and you also don't box them into memorizing things. You're able to show so many different things that the players are now applying rules and concepts rather than remembering specifically that it's this front and it's this play and I have that guy. It's what I've found in my experience, and I'm sure you're the same way here, that you're looking at it, that your players are becoming more, you know, conceptual with the scheme. And that's ultimately what week one needs to be about, is your concept, your scheme, because there are going to be so many unknowns that are out there.
That's exactly it. Well, let's talk about the Go Army Edge app and wrap up with that. You know, I shared the idea of the blitz simulation. And again, it doesn't have to be in a racquetball court. It's really where you could find a wall that's big enough and a projector that you could get that out in front of your guys and they can do their work. So other uses of this, Rob, that you would use. And again, this is that idea of maybe giving them some of the unknowns and getting them used to and in that mindset of adapting to what's in front of them.
Yeah, so using the Go Army Edge app, you know, we're talking in season also. You know, guys are just heading into week one or just finishing week one. So let's talk about functional things. So what I would want you to do, and if you email me or Twitter at me and tell you, is focus on pre-snap. You know, so motion checks, shifts, breaking a huddle, you know, offensively, secondary rotation, you know, capped, overhang, pressure people, front identification, because all that is created so quickly and there's the foundation in the app that's already created. So you can pull a playbook out there that it's in generic terminology, so you may have to change some things, but you can copy that example playbook that's out there and get started right away. And there's not a real big learning curve because you're not fitting people and you're not trying to move things post-snap. And I can tell you, I'm doing those things, doing some consulting work at all levels of football this season with exactly that. And I'm giving the same advice at those levels that I am right now, that the power pre-snap of identification, that will make your players stronger mentally and give you that edge, you know, to get your team to the next level.
Well, Rob, I think that's the key. You know, at this time of the year, you do want to keep it simple for yourself, for your workflow. And really, I've gave this recommendation before, thinking of how I started with it, because, you know, we got this going, headed at a new place where I had not worked with all those coaches. They had not worked with it. So I turned it over to my intern, and in an hour, he came back to me with, okay, this is exactly how you use this. And, you know, so he was kind of our expert in it. So anytime, you know, initially as I was learning it, if I said, hey, how do I get this guy to turn his hips this way? Oh, it's right over here, coach. And he would have that for me. So I think finding one of those younger guys on your staff or a guy who's not a coordinator and having him in charge of this, making him the guy that you're going to use the Go Army Edge app for, would be my recommendation. And then simple, stick with simple. What are some things you can do right now? Again, not getting bogged down. You'll find that the copy paste aspect of this makes it really easy to use and put those reps together. And from a rep standpoint, you know, that's probably the best thing, is that you're going to get a ton of reps. When we used to do the blitz pickup period, we'd do that 3 times a week for 15 minutes. Every time we'd be somewhere between 60 and 70 reps, because it's not waiting for a scout team to read a card and understand where they're going and set back up. You're pressing a button and they're there and ready to go. You know, you're not waiting for the scout team to get back in the huddle, look at a card and break. They're there and ready to go. So it's a very efficient form of getting those mental reps that you need.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, there's a fair amount of experts out there. So reach out to people like you and I, and there's a number of others throughout the country that would be happy to share this. Because I firmly believe that this is the way, this is the best way to teach. And it's also the way that the game is going to require us just from, you know, limitations of certain contacts. And it really is best practice. I firmly believe that.
Especially knowing the work you're doing and who you're doing it with, I know this is going to catch fire here pretty quick. So check it out at GoArmyEdge.com. Follow Coach on Twitter at 9 in the box. Spell that out, N-I-N-E in the box. Coach, I'm so excited about this series. That was a great week one for us here on the Edge, and I look forward to our conversation next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, Coach, and coaches out there. Good luck in week one, and we'll see you next week.
Check out all we're doing on Twitter, on our Twitter handle for coaches, at FBDEVCoach. We have some in-season content available for you there. If there's anything I can help you with, at Coach K. Grabowski, connect with me on Twitter. We have great podcasts lined up for you all season long. I promise you they're going to be relevant to what happens this season for you and really all aspects of the game. So continue to tune in. If there's anything you need in drills for contact, blocking, defeating blocks, or tackling, go over to footballdevelopment.com and check out what we have available there.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.